We bring you greetings from Guyana, South America. Beautiful country, great temperature all year round. You don't have to worry about being frozen. And we do enjoy the blessings of God, as the Apostle Paul says, in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. And sometimes we don't appreciate where we are. But we ought not to look upon the things of this world to find comfort. Our comfort is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to quickly draw your attention to the book of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There is so much division in our ministries today as to what we should do and what we should not do. I also agree with those who don't have the same view. Nevertheless, I believe that whatever will bring honor and glory to God, if we can do it, let us do it. Be not weary in well doing. This year, January 2009 marks 40 years since the Lord has called me into the ministry. Today we have two organized local churches in Guyana. The third one is about to be organized after we are through with the building project. We are presently raising funds here in the United States on our deputation for the building. The Lord has blessed tremendously, and we just have a few more things to do on the building: painting, guttering, and electrification, and that will, we hope the Lord will provide, and that will be done before we are ready to dedicate the building and to organize our third church there in Guyana. Since my wife and I came in 1992, I was made to understand that I just couldn't remember exactly when, but I'm so glad that some people can remember those things. And I tell you, some people that are good in their memory, I do rejoice with them in that. But we've been staying real busy. We've been staying on course, fighting the good fight there in Guyana, South America. We have not given up. The Lord is blessed despite of all the ups and downs and difficulties and challenges. The Lord has been blessing. And we from some of the past experiences been able to do additional things like other outreach programs. I guess when we were here the last time, we mentioned to you some of the difficulties brought upon us by politicians and racial problems in the country that has sparked a great exodus of the Guyanese population. More than half of the population migrated, and that continues on to this day. People continue to leave by any means, but we still believe that God has a purpose in the preaching of the gospel. So we continue, and while we been preaching to our people, Many of them we realized couldn't read and write. And to a greater extent, most of our people do not have the skill to get a job or to be able to provide for themselves. So we thought it best, by the grace of God, to start up some training program with our people, mainly our church members, starting with a little library, teaching them to read and write. Then we noticed that there are many that are so poor. We start up a sewing class, and that has grown so much so that it is beyond the doors of the church members. And we are glad that we could reach the other people in the community with the gospel. So we started up a skills training center, teaching various skills: electrical installation, repairs to home appliances, computer technology, reading and writing skills, sewing, and some other skills that will benefit each family. But we find that not only our church people want to be there to benefit, but other people from the community, relatives of those coming to church. We said, well, that will be a good opportunity. But we put in place the management system that will be separate from the church. The management system is to manage the skills training center and to seek grants for the operation of the center. My wife, she is the coordinator of the center. I was made the managing director of the center to ensure that all the rules and principles of the center is in line with what we stand for in the church. And so we thank God that unto this day everything is going real well, nothing against what we stand for in the church. We had some consultants who at one time tried to get us to drop the name of the church and just call it a community training center. Well, you know, Satan is very wise. If you drop the name Baptist, it means you can be anything. But when you hold the name Baptist, it tells what you stand for. Though Satan is still working to confuse people about free will Baptists and all kinds of Baptists. But in the final analysis, the Baptist of the Bible will stand firm for the faith. And so we thank God that we are able to stand firm. We let them know that we cannot change our name because it is a vision of the church through which we have started the Skills Training Center. And today, to date, we have trained thousands of people. But the most important thing in our training center, that we have the wonderful privilege in reaching the lost with the gospel. We are able to contact them on a one-to-one basis. We are able to use the classroom without any restriction. My wife would write to agencies for grants. One of the agencies that you may be aware of is the USAID. The USAID is United States Agencies for International Development. They give grants to faith-based organizations, that would carry out those programs, and they have no way or no strings attached to control your organization. The Skills Training Center is referred to as an NGO. An NGO means non-governmental organizations. It's in no way controlled or instructed by the government. So we are free from any government control or direction whatsoever. If anyone gives any money to run a program, well, it is only fair enough that we be transparent and we be honest in our spending and the program that we set out to do. But they cannot come and tell us that they want the Hindu to have a say in it, or the Muslim to have a say in it, or anybody else. No, it is strictly, whenever we have a graduation, it is strictly led, conducted by our church. The prayer is conducted by our church. And so we pretty much stick with our principles and regulations. Now, you will see that in these pictures, people that we work with the orphans. We've been working with them over the years. The senior citizens. Now, senior citizens in Guyana are at a disadvantage. All they get on a monthly basis from the government is, I think, is $15 for the month, which does not even take care of their medication. The hospital is free, medication is free, but when you go to the hospital, they give you the prescription, you go and buy it at the drugstore. So that's free socialized medicine. It is not free. And we work with school dropouts, young people in particular that did not make it to school for various reasons, either because their parents are poor or the father may have migrated out of the country for many, many years, not there to take care. And because of the migration, there's a lot of families that are separated, and it poses a real serious problem. So the Lord is blessed that we have been able to do this program in Guyana, and the greatest thing for us is to reach the lost with the gospel. Here you'll see the transport and harbor, a place that we call a stelling. Now this stelling is just by the side of the river where the ferry boat will come alongside of it, and you would drive your car into the ferry boat, or you'll buy your ticket and walk into the ferry boat. It takes about 30 minutes to get across on the other side, but there is almost a ferry boat every hour. But because of the number of vehicles, you can rest assured you can be there for 5 hours, 6 hours, a waiting time to get across either side of that river. It's a wide river. It's about a mile wide. And it's very, very deep. You will see the two gentlemen, they're white Americans with their back facing you. On my right is Brother Turner, Jimmy Turner from Alabama. On my right, which would be on your left, is Pastor John Hunter. He is from Alabama. Now, these men went to Guyana, but Brother Turner returned back. He was there for a few weeks. And Brother John Hunter, he went for the third time with his wife and decided to stay there for a year so that my wife and I could come on deputation for a year here in the States. And this month is our, I think it's 10th month already, and we are getting ready to return back to Guyana, the Lord's willing. All right? So that's the spelling there. Thank you. All right, this is a snacket right by the spelling where you spend most of your time. There are several snackets where people spend hours and hours waiting so they have something there to eat while they're waiting. There you can see the spelling a little better, and you can see through almost into the ferry boat that is docked in the river. That is by the marketplace where they have lots of vegetables, pumpkins. I'm sure you are acquainted with some of these vegetables, pumpkins and watermelons. There is a member of one of our churches there selling at a marketplace. She's selling vegetables, string beans. She's also selling eggplant. Another couple of our members selling clothing at a market. They sell clothes. And the one woman on your left, she and her husband were Muslims, and the Lord saved them, and we baptized both of them into the churches there. And her husband died a year ago or a little more. This gentleman selling chicken by the roadside. As you drive by, you stop, you select your chicken, you raise it, and he plucks it right there. And if you want him to cut it up, you'll cut it up. But you know, you look at those chickens, they are pretty expensive. I should have mentioned this before, that one U.S. dollar is equivalent to about 200 Guyana dollars. So one of these chickens, or 5-pound chicken, may cost about 1,000 Guyana dollars. So not many people can afford to have chickens, because the day's wage varies. If you are not a skilled worker, you are an ordinary laborer, you may make $1,000 a day. So that is only for one chicken for the family. And if you can work a little harder, you may make $1,500. Or if you may have a little skill, you may make 2,000 Guyana dollars a day. Or if you're a good skilled worker, you may make 3,000, 4,000 Guyana dollars a day. But the government worker does not make that kind of money. The government worker, they make what you call a minimum wage. And I believe a teacher, to start with, makes about 40,000 Guyana dollars a month, which is 200 U.S. dollars a month. Now, if a teacher should own a car and goes to the gas station, you'd have to spend 12,000 Guyana dollars to fill up your gas tank. So just imagine. And if that month one of your tires go, well, you'll have to sacrifice your whole month income, because a tire for the car, if it's like a size 13 for the car, small tire, it would be like about 35,000 Guyana dollars for one tire. So you can imagine the situation there, because of the high cost of living, that very many people are unable to educate their children and provide the basic amenities for the families, clothing, books and so forth, even medication. If you are sick there in Guyana and you don't have the money, well, woe be unto you. If you go to the public hospital, a government hospital, they may keep you there for a while and treat you with whatever they have, and there is no assurance that you're going to get better or they will ever diagnose your situation. Because most of the doctors there in those hospitals are medical practitioners. They are not what you will call them specialists. They are not special. For you to go to a specialist, you pretty much have to go to a private hospital or see a private doctor. But most of the time, you go to the government hospital, the doctors there, they try out things on you to see whether it will work. Yeah. Well, the other one just now you saw with the glasses, we do collect glasses from church folks that have glasses that they are not using. They probably give up already. And we send them back to Guyana through the post. And there you see on the desk, Brother John Hunter and Brother Terry, they had names of people who made requests for glasses. They're going through them. Then they will call those people and let them wear a pair of glasses and help them out to wear it and to read or to go outside and see whether they can see clearly and have a clear vision. They may wait a while, try out a number of glasses to be sure they have one that they can use. And so they get it free. Oh. You better operate this, brother. Okay, this is a sewing center, a sewing section at the center where we teach women to sew. We taught men to do tailoring as well. So here they are learning to sew their own dress, and most of these women are infected with HIV and AIDS. Okay, go on. There's Brother Jim Turner from Alabama teaching the young men about barbering, how they can learn to do it, and many of them show an interest to learn barbering. I'm going back. Here's a discussion with these folks as to HIV and AIDS, and then we have somebody working with them to know whether they are improving. They are taking their medication, so we keep records with them, and we have people working with them. But these grants are made available to us at the center by a request. You have to write up a lot of paper, do a lot of paperwork, and keep all the records clear, so that when they come to inspect your records, they must see how you spend the money and what you have done with your programs. Here you'll see two fireside or stove, cement stove, huge cement stove where we use wood to fire or to do the cooking in big pots, bulk cooking. And I was lighting the fire with wood. This brother here was opening up a big can of beans, and he is a member of the church. He's a missionary of the missions where we are building the third church building. And so we were there cooking a meal for the orphans and also for the senior citizens at the center. There you have the senior citizens. And we are able to reach them with the gospel and Many of them have come to hear the gospel. As a matter of fact, about 2 months ago, one of the senior citizens coming from a Hindu background at the age of 80 made profession of faith, and he also was baptized there at Roadside Baptist. And we have most of these folks here, they will tell you that they're rather to be at Roadside where they can hear the gospel. Yeah. Missed it. Okay. That's in the classroom with Brother Turner, Jim Turner, talking to the students, addressing them, and sharing a testimony with them in the classroom. Brother John Hunter using the flannel graph to tell Bible stories of Bible characters like Abraham and Daniel and so forth. That's at the under the tent right by the church, Roadside Baptist. Under this tent, we have done a lot of activities, training program, lectures. That's where we hold our graduation. And the graduation for this year will be held on the 19th of March of this year, the Lord's willing. That's Mrs. Hunter using a flannel graph to tell Bible stories. They're singing scripture songs for the students, teaching them scripture songs. Now, all of these children you're seeing there are very, very malnutritious. They are orphans. They live with someone who probably would hardly give them one meal a day. When they come to the center and we take care of them, and before they leave, we ensure that they have something to eat and a little package to take home. But before they get their transportation, they open their little package right there and finish it as well. They don't want to take chance taking it home. They may have somebody else who is going to grab it from them. So they make sure they eat it themselves. And there are a lot of children in the community that we have that need, even for basic living condition, food and clothing and so forth. Ongoing, okay. These are children there again. Many of them will come from school in the afternoon and will rush to the center to see what they can get. There is Mrs. Hunter with a few of them, reading for them. That's in our church, Roadside Baptist Church. And the brother you're seeing behind the pulpit, he was trained right there. He works right at the center. And he pastors the church there at Roadside. The Lord is blessing and using him mightily in that work there. There you see him at his ordination that took place about 2 years ago. That's the ordination of Brother Terry. This group presented themselves for baptism. That's in the baptistry at the church. This woman was saved from a Muslim background, and she also followed the Lord in believer's baptism. There's Brother John Hunter preaching at one of the missions. You see, it says 57 mission. Now the villages are numbered. The villages are numbered, so it says it's really number 57, village mission. That's how we conduct meetings on their homes. Especially, it's a new preaching point. We don't rent a place. We don't put up a building first. we go in the community and ask for the people to allow us to use their ground floor, which may be in the open, and we try to make it comfortable, and we put benches, and we invite people in the neighborhood, they come and hear the gospel. And if it pleases the Lord to save, then we go further. And that's how we are putting up our third church building, because the mission work has grown. We have baptized a number of people there, and as soon as that building is finished and dedicated, the church will be organized, and they will be an independent Baptist church. They were having some snacks there. If you notice, it's all rice. Brother Jim Turner. This young man, he is working at this mission, village number 69. That is an outdoor mission work. It's called in number 77, Mission. That's how houses are built on stilts, mainly because the coast of the country is 6 feet below sea level. And under the British system, all the houses were built on stilts. Now that they have improved on the drainage, a lot of people thought it best to even to enclose the ground floor as a part of their dwelling. Well, that's everywhere. Okay. Used as a means of transportation. Mrs. Hunter posing with a Dunkin' cart. That's in the classroom. And this section here, what you're seeing here, is the lower flat of the church building at Roadside, the Roadside Baptist Church. See, the students, they have to dress with a uniform. Go ahead. Okay. That's at Roadside Baptist Church on a Sunday morning. That's at a mission. They were serving a snack at the mission one day. This gentleman, you see in the blue shirt, the head of the table, he is the owner of the property where we have a mission, and he died recently, just a couple of months ago. This is a Thanksgiving service at a house opening. When you have a special service, a house opening, or a family celebration of any kind, they invite the neighborhood, everybody in the neighborhood, whether they're Muslims or Hindus or what have you, and people just come and hear the gospel. Okay? Go on. If you look at it back, towards the wall, those women that have their head covering there are Muslims. You will see the difference in the head covering, the way they wear their head covering, different from Christian women that believe in wear head covering. Okay? Normal thing, food. That's a gentleman that was mentioning a while ago that God saved. You see him sitting right at the back on a chair. He's about 80 years of age, and he from a Hindu background came to know the Lord, and he started going to Roadside through the senior citizen program. Okay. This is our son, his wife, and their baby. The baby is now 16 months of age. That's a youth pastor and his son. And he got saved, and he got baptized at our church at Roadside. He got married there. God is training there. He is a teacher of the electrical program. And he's also the pastor. So Lord has blessed. We have about 5 men now that we can use in the ministry. This is a group here having a meeting at the center. Meeting going on at the center there. Going back at his telling. Go on. This is now the graduation that was held last year at the center. The graduation, 139 person graduated at the center in various skills. There you see the crowd right under the tent, right by the church. When we first started there, people made all kinds of comments, and some people say, especially the Muslim says, we would not let our children go to that place because it's a Christian place. Well, we didn't argue with them, we didn't fight with them. We just proved to them that we are there because of Christ, and we will do exactly what the Lord wants us to do. And they eventually came. They came. The wider community came to that place. There are officials from various agencies, donor agencies, and also from the government. We had on 3 occasions the wife of the president of Guyana attended our graduation exercise. We had a representative from the government and the minister of education. 2 different ones attended. The minister of finance. 2 different ones attended our graduation. And they have much praise for the church and the work that the church is doing. And that has removed a lot of problems between the church and the community, even from people who are trying to work against the church, that the church is, converting these people. And so it is easy in Guyana for someone to go and report to the government and the government to shut you down. But the government have confidence that what we are doing, we are not forcing anyone to believe the gospel. We invite everyone. We preach the gospel freely and let God do His work in the hearts of people. So we don't go out converting people. The Lord does the saving. Amen. We do the preaching. Okay, you can move on real fast. Now, that's at the graduation. And several people were speaking at the graduation there. You can move on to the... Excuse me. You can move on to... Back to the church. If you can move a little fast. These young ladies you see standing up there, they sew their own dress. When they came there, they couldn't read nor write. Most of them couldn't even read a tape line. They didn't know to cut the cloth to make a dress. But at the end of their program, before the graduation, they were able to sew their own dress for the graduation. So they have a lot of praise for the center there. And many of them are coming to church. We can talk to them. We can invite them. We have built up that relationship with the community that whenever they see any one of us from the church or the center, come on right in. Otherwise than that, they close the gate, they close the door. You don't have any access. So we thank the Lord that we can reach them and have an opportunity. This gentleman was speaking on behalf of the Ministry of Education at last year's graduation exercise. That's receiving the certificates. Now, our appeal to you today is to help in the work there, not at the center, but directly at our churches. And we trust the Lord to help us on this deputation to raise the money to complete the building. We still need to, like I said, to do the electrification and painting and guttering. Also to support missionaries. Beside that, we are shipping a container, a 40-foot container from Florida, Winter Haven, Florida. We already have all the pews given to us. So we have to transport those pews from Lake Wales, haul them on a trailer to Winter Haven and store them there. And so we have the pews, we have chairs, we are collecting linens and food items and good children storybooks. We like to, if you have good children storybooks, that's a need for the little children there to learn to read. So, and we can give you the address here to send them to in Florida, and we'll be back there in a month's time. We will be putting all these things in a container to ship them to Guyana. The container will cost $7,000 to ship to Guyana from Winter Haven. So keep praying with us as the Lord bless, and pray that the Lord will help us to get the things that we need, Bibles, tracts, hymnals, and also one of the requests that we have is raising support for the missionaries. Though we need some support ourselves, we have made a commitment that whatever new church that picks up any support will go for the missionaries. The Lord, we have set a goal for 3,000. The Lord is blessed. We have raised $1,100 already on a monthly basis for those missionaries. And pray that God will continue to bless a country that has really been affected with poverty and all kinds of difficulties. But we thank the Lord that people are poor, but there's a desire for the gospel. And Pastor, you have any question? No. All right. At the end of the service, anybody has any question? And they're free to ask and want to know more. We have pictures too. And we trust that the Lord will enable you to understand more about the work in Guyana.
I believe your card with address on it, several.
Yeah, we have prayer cards with the address, which we'll leave some here. Okay, this is what you're seeing here is another ordination of two men. One into the gospel ministry, one as a deacon. And so this is the graduation ceremony conducted at Roadside Baptist Church last year, April. Okay, well, yeah, move on. Let's see. Here we give the charge to the brother who was ordained to the gospel ministry. Yeah, we do.
And these are all men sound in the gospel structure.
Yes, sir. Okay.
The Lord's been blessing the last few years.
Right. Well, we've been working, training men, but when we don't see the true calling of a man in the Lord to serve in the ministry, we don't use that man.
And I think they'd be interested to hear what happens to one.
Okay, we did in 1989. We had a man working with us as a missionary, serving in the ministry there, but the church there in St. John thought it best that we send him there for 6 months so that he can obtain a certificate and go back to use as some means of recognition. Well, things didn't work out. What they did, they in turn ordain him there and send him out as their missionary. And when he went back to Guyana, he went right near to where our church is in Corriverton, start to work, and that really caused a lot of problem. Took a lot of members from the church, especially those that are under discipline. And he would just gladly accept them. And the worst part of it, a couple of members from the church came to me and want me to marry them. And when I questioned about the intended fiancé and so forth, they were not saved. And then I said to them, we cannot conduct this marriage because we cannot marry believers with unbelievers. And so what they did, they went out to that missionary and he gladly did it. So he was not really working, to build the Lord's church. He was out to destroy the work. And, well, the Lord dealt with them in very, very many ways. And then we had another young man we were training, and he took that young man too, after that young man was disciplined. You know, we don't encourage men, you know, to live their own lives and want to stay behind the pulpit. So what we did, he had a good training, he was preaching, and then one day we heard that he went to a place that he should not have gone, and when we confronted him, he didn't see it, see anything wrong with it. So we removed him from the pulpit until he can prove himself to the church that he really repent, and it was not a serious offense as such of immorality, but a matter of examples and testimony. We believe if one is going to preach to the church and teach, must be an example. And so many of them understand that. So that missionary gladly took him and put him in his pulpit to preach, and took him as his missionary and what have you, and got support for him. So we, you know, continue, but the Lord has blessed us in the last 4 or 5 years with some good men, faithful men, who are now grounded in the Word of God. And I've proven them all along, because what I do in training, I get them involved in the ministry at the same time. So I don't give them a church, I let them go and work in a mission to see how the feel is, and then see whether they can manage there and then get them in the church. So the Lord is blessing in that way. Pray, because the economy of the country is real bad, and things are pretty expensive for us even to maintain our vehicles. We have a bus, we have a pickup truck. They are pretty expensive. Our tithes and offerings in one of our churches would be like 60,000 Guyana dollars. And you may say, wow, that's a lot of money. Sure enough, that's a lot of money. But it only equivalents to 300 U.S. dollars. It's equivalent to 300 U.S. dollars. And when you take that 300 U.S. dollar to really keep things going, doesn't go very far. Just one tire for the pickup truck is 200 U.S. dollars. And maintenance and license and insurance and everything, that's why we depend on support from churches of like faith and order in the States. All right, any other question, Pastor? What we have done last year, early last year, we have started outreach programs called Prayer Breakfast with the Police. So we have the police and the police ranks, and we are able to reach them with the gospel and also share the Word of God with them, how they can be better examples in the community respectable law enforcement officers in the community. So we thank God for that. We also start a program with the doctors and the nurses last year, January. We, on several occasions, we had a U.S. ambassador came to the center at our graduation, We had a Canadian ambassador, the British ambassador came, and this year I think the U.S. Embassy will be sending a representative to represent the U.S. ambassador at the graduation, to be the guest speaker. Well, they all know that we don't compromise what we stand for. And I think many of them have realized that. They come to appreciate it. And even the last U.S. ambassador we had there in Guyana, he had full praise for the church and the work the church is doing. Yes, sir.
How many members do you have coming there?
At Roadside Church, we have a membership of 45, but we have attendance there in the 80s and 90s on Sunday morning. At Corriverton Church, we had a membership of 80 and more, and we had attendance of 120 until we had a problem, and we dropped, but now our attendance is in the 40s and 50s. The mission work, which is a growing work where we are putting up our third church building, we have a membership of about 15, but we have attendance in the 30s and 40s, and I'm sure after the building is finished, we are going to be able to reach the wider community. It's going to be more open to the people than somebody's home. There are, please.
So do you anticipate that one of these other churches that you started might be able to...
Well, it would not be easy for them to do that because it will be a lot of work, but they are all involved. What we do there, now each one of those churches, they would have an input into that and bring their people right there for training or what have you. All right, any other question?
How far apart, miles?
Roadside is about 12 miles from Corriverton Church. But where we're putting up the new church building is just about, I would say, about 8 miles. But 8 miles there in Guyana is like 80 miles here in the States. Because the cost of providing that transportation is pretty expensive. It's better to put up a little building than to provide the transportation because of the high cost of fuel and maintaining the vehicles. Yes. We have need for King James Bibles. Certainly. That's the Bible we use. Computers? Great! If anybody has computers, that will be a blessing. That will be a blessing. How the population of Guyana? The country is 83,000 square miles. And it is as big as Idaho. And it is way on the northern tip of South America, very close to the equator. It is the only English-speaking country in South America, but the country is built on the coastline of the country, and the coastline is 6 feet below sea level. The main produce of the country and products is sugarcane. They produce sugar, rice. They also mine bauxite, and they also have lumber and logs and so forth. The country has all the natural resources. But we had a problem in the country where the country was really, battered and abused by politicians. The Guyana dollar was equivalent to the U.S. dollar. The Guyana dollar, in the 70s, a gallon of gas was 36 cents. Now a gallon of gas is about 800 Guyana dollars. And many children do not have notebooks that, you know, to go to school with. And if you have pencils and pens and crayons and all these things will help a lot of these children. And the hymn books too, we would appreciate hymn books and all the Bibles we can get. We'll give you the address where you can send them down to Florida and we'll put them all in a container. Well, we had, when the country became independent, we had a black leader, and he really led the Negroes in the country to really, you know, hurt the Indians and the economy. The dollar was equivalent to the U.S., as I've said, and they just allow everything to destroy the economy of the country. In 1992, we had a free and fair election. We have a new government, and they are trying to rebuild the country, but the system that was put in place by the dictatorship government will take this present government another 20 or 30 years to see any drastic change. So that might happen in the United States. We like to, but the government is very concerned about things that ship in Guyana that they are good quality, in the sense that we don't ship back things that people wouldn't use, in the sense that there are some kind of clothing that you might be comfortable with here in the States, but may not be the best for us there in Guyana. Right. Yeah. Yes. The population was 1.5 million, has dwindled to less than 700,000. Most of them have left the Indian population. And
population,
well, the present percentage of the population, 52% are East Indians, originally from India. Then you have 42% blacks, originally from Africa. And then the rest of the native Indians, Chinese, Europeans, and so forth.